Welcome to the Dr. Berg's Healthy Keto and Intermittent Fasting Podcast, where Dr. Berg takes you on the journey for the truth about getting healthy and losing healthy weight.
This is number one, and this is number two. So in the presence of any stored sugar or any sugar at all, this fat will not be used at all. The body does not like to burn fat in normal situations unless there's no sugar there, okay? So the way it works simply is the pancreas regulates sugar, it pulls sugar out when you're eating, and then when you're not eating, the liver starts kicking in there and puts the sugar back in and starts to take this storage and start to put it back in the blood to maintain a sugar at 100. Now let's talk about briefly what happens when that sugar gets pulled out of the blood when insulin goes up, okay? So there's three situations that occur. Number one, that energy, that sugar could be used as energy, immediate energy. Let's say you're exercising, so you're going to be using up your energy, or during a marathon, the person's eating sugar and it's kind of burning up. Or number two, it's being stored as sugar, and that's stored sugar in your liver and in the muscles. So we want that to happen because if it's stored, then it's not converted to fat. Okay, so I'd rather have stored sugar than fat, right? Because stored sugar is just going to be used for energy, but we don't want too much. So there's a certain amount of sugar that's stored in the body. But in order to store this sugar right here, what happens is that you need potassium, all right? Without potassium, you can't store sugar. So for every sugar, a little molecule, you need one potassium molecule, like that. So potassium is like the glue that holds the sugar together. So with low potassium levels, the person will start craving sugar. Why? Because they can't store sugar. So they crave sugar. Why? Because the sugars are going down and the body's telling you, give me that sugar. So the symptom of cravings means your body has low blood sugar and it's really low potassium. So what happens when people crave sugar? They go eat sugar, right? What they should consume is potassium. Now the problem that most people have is they don't really know how much potassium they need on a daily basis. An average body needs 4,700 milligrams. That's a lot. In fact, one banana is 400, so you'd have to have 10 bananas. That's not going to work. So we really need, our bodies need 7 cups minimum of vegetable every single day. Now, if you're doing 1 cup or 2 cup, it's not going to cut it. And if you're taking a pill, it's like 40 milligrams, you have to have like 100 of them. So we want to do the vegetables. So you can do the kale shake for breakfast as part of it, and then have your eggs, whatever, and then for lunch have this huge salad, for dinner have some more vegetable, but we really want to shoot for 7 cups. And if you're at all interested in managing or improving your blood sugar issues, this is a must, especially if you have diabetes. Okay, so we want stored sugar. And then it also, if there's too much sugar to be pulling out, and that sugar's not being used as energy, and you don't have potassium, guess what? It goes right to fat. So it's being converted to fat. So that is one relationship between potassium and fat. If you don't consume enough vegetables or potassium, you tend to gain more fat. All right? So that's just, those are the three things that occur with where the sugar goes after you consume sugar and the spike of the hormone insulin from the pancreas. Now the next point has to do with what is diabetes. Diabetes is a condition where your body has no longer been able to regulate the sugar in here. And it comes from consuming, obviously, too much sugar. That's the most common cause. But here's the thing. Diabetes type 2 is a less serious diabetes. Type 1 is a more serious type of diabetes. So type 2 is really a problem with the liver, because what happens is they take a drug called glucophage, or another name for it, metformin, and what all that does is it makes the cells in the liver more receptive or receiving more insulin. So they work on the receptors in the liver, okay, receptors. So they increase the conductivity of insulin. So each receptor in the liver for insulin becomes magnified. And there's 200,000 receptors for insulin for every liver cell that you have. So if you can imagine, really what diabetes type 2 is, it's insulin resistant. Resistive. Hey, it's Dr. Burke here. In this short video, I'm going to show you how to get rid of a sore throat within 2 minutes without pills, herbs, drugs. Does that sound good? And I know you might be thinking this is too good to believe, but it actually really works, and I want you to prove it on yourself. I wish I knew this back when I had sore throats growing up. I had them almost every 4 months, especially in the winter. They kept coming. And it's interesting because once you get a sore throat, it keeps happening over and over. It's like a cycle. This technique is all acupressure, and I developed it, and I'm going to teach you how to do it. Now, you can do it to yourself, or you can have someone do it, and I'm going to teach you both ways. Here's the principle of how it works. If you were to point to the sore throat, just pretend he doesn't have a sore throat, but let's say he did. He's pointing right to his Adam's apple right here, and it's usually going to be in the mid part of the neck. And then what happens, we're going to draw a line in the back part of his neck right here, and we're going to be pressing inward exactly on the opposite side of where the sore throat is. Now, why does that work? Because pain and inflammation is kind of a stuck energy that's stuck in the front. By pressing the opposite, it frees up the lymphatic system, increases the circulation, increases the nerve flow to free up through there. So not only will the sore throat go away within 1 to 2 minutes when doing this, but you'll find that it won't keep coming back, which is very, very cool. So I'm going to show you how to do it. You're going to use your middle finger here and your thumb, and we're going to press right on the middle part, and we're going to stabilize the forehead and press inward like this, like a scissoring effect. And you're going to press nice and firmly. Now, the way you know you have the correct points is that it's going to be very, very, very tender on this back part, way more tender than where he hurts in his sore throat. And if I was going to use a tool, a massage tool that I have, you could also do it on yourself. You would take this is a little tripod that has a real thin area, medium, and then a wide, depending on how big the neck is. Maybe you probably want to use the medium and on him, and then we would just come right in there, and we can press in here, and he'll be laying down on a couch. And you'll hit these 2 points right where the sore throat is on the opposite side. Okay? If he's a bigger guy, he will work on these wider points right here, or a smaller person, the smaller points right here. And you can just do it like that, but I'm going to show you. If I were to do it, I would press right here on my fingers. And then I'm going to ask him, is this tender right here? And he's going to say, yes, it's sore. And then I'm going to go a little bit lower, okay? And what I'm going to feel is I'm going to feel not just where he's telling me it's tender, but where it's very, very tight. It's going to be very tight and blocked on the opposite point of where he hurts on the front part, if we draw a circle. So I might want to play around and go a little higher, lower, and just find that one spot that's like really like a rock hard tight, and then we're going to press right into that area. It might be even more tight on the left side or the right side, and then I might spend more pressure on that point. And then I'm going to ask him, while I'm holding this pressure, I'm going to rate it like 10 being very severe, 0 being no soreness. Give me a number. Maybe he says 10, and then I'm going to hold this, and I'm going to tell me when it goes down to a 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 2, until it's 0. And it might actually plateau where it doesn't move, and then I'll ask him, did it move lower? Did the sore throat go lower? And he goes, yes, or higher. And then I'm just going to adjust my fingers lower or higher to match where it hurts on the front part. So I'm going to adjust the fingers until there is no more soreness. Okay, so it's going to go away. And I wouldn't even wait to do this till you have a sore throat. I would do this before you had a sore throat to prevent a sore throat. It's the easiest thing to do. And you're just freeing up stuck energy flows in your neck. And if you have repetitive sore throats over many, many years, it forms a lot of tightness and stiffness in the neck. So typically it's going to be very, very tight. And you might have to go lower, and you press in there, and you're going to find one spot that is the most tender of all the tender areas. And that's the one you just hold. And you might have to hold this for about 2 minutes, maybe a little bit longer. But that pain is going away. And what will happen, it will feel a lot better. And you might have to do it the next day or the next day. But you'll find that it's the best thing to do for sore throats. Because what I used to do is take antibiotics over and over and over and over, and it would get better, but then it would keep coming back. Okay? So this technique is something that anyone can do. So go ahead and apply this, and then go ahead and click below, and I'm going to give you some download notes on a step-by-step if you want to just see it in a one page. So I have a little link below. Click that, and that way you can print that out and use that the next time you have a sore throat. I'll see you in the next video.